Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to this bonus episode of Nightmare on Film Street. We're back on Nightmare Alley this week. We're talking with two Swiss filmmakers about a fucking bonkers grindhouse B-movie that they made recently called Mad Heidi.
It's so hard to say it not in a grindhousey way.
I mean, I almost kind of did, but yeah, like all I want to do is say Mad Heidi, the way you would say like machete. Like that's
really good.
Thank you. That's how that movie and this movie should be pronounced. Like you should never say it with like, it's I'm watching machete tonight. You should be like, I'm watching machete tonight. It should always be like that. Like it's its own language. Anyway, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we're joined today by the co-directors, Johannes Hartmann and Sandro Klofstein. This, as you'll learn, is a spoof action dystopian movie that's sort of playing off of the Heidi films, which is adapted from a Swiss book. It's basically a story about a girl in the Alps, but this girl in the Alps has to deal with the fucking like Nazi style dictatorship, an underground cheese ring where goat cheese is like bricks of cocaine. She goes to prison. She fights in a fucking gladiator pit. It is a wild movie.
And in true fashion, how we like to roll at Nightmare on Film Street and support independent filmmakers, this is an entirely independent film.
Yeah.
So apparently the film industry in Switzerland doesn't have a, surprise, surprise, large genre market.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard for them to get this project made. But with the help of crowdfunding, social backing, and basically the fans and the industry wanting to do these fun projects, they made it happen. And they're distributing it themselves too, which is also really crazy.
Yeah, you can watch the movie right now. Mad Heidi came out December 8th. You can check it out on their website. They throw the link at the end of the episode. It's also in the show notes if you want to just save the interview for after you've watched the movie. We highly encourage you check it out. It is definitely, in a year where we are constantly seeing more and more elevated horror movies, it's nice to watch a movie that you can just like crack a beer and have a whole big bowl of chips.
And Switzerland is fucking gorgeous. I want to see more spooky movies
there. That's the other thing, right?
There.
Yeah, we got to get over there.
Do you guys got ghosts there? Like, make it happen.
Show me your Swiss ghosts. Do they haunt clocks?
Did they mean goats?
Anyway, we're going to kick it over to the trailer, and then we're gonna be joined by the filmmakers to talk about this crazy movie. Just a quick little heads up, we did have one hell of a fucking day when we were recording this, and we had to use our backup mic, but Johannes and Sandro, they're coming in crystal clear in this episode, so still perfectly suitable audio, but if you're nitpicky like me, you'll notice a small difference.
Ah, peaceful Switzerland. Beautiful mountains, delicious cheese, and of course, Heidi.
Go, Peter!
I love you, baby girl.
But you've seen nothing yet.
Dear citizen, today we shall celebrate Switzerland's new order!
Gentlemen, world domination
to world domination. This man has been charged with the production of illegal dairy products.
Is back with a vengeance. Get ready for action. Beautiful Swiss girls, Swiss Army katanas, and of course, fondue boarding.
I love the smell of cheese in the morning.
This is the cheesiest movie you'll ever see.
The only good cheese is fried cheese.
I'm coming for you, you fucking bastard!
She's one badass Heidi. She's Mad Heidi.
Well. Something's yodeling in my pants.
So, Johannes, Sandro, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us on the show today.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for making such a weirdo movie. Where did the idea for Mad Heidi come from? Because you're playing on a sort of history of Swiss films already, but like, when did you both decide to make the most madcap version of that story?
Well, I think first was the idea for this Swiss ploitation concept. That's how we call our genre that we invented, basically, because we were desperate that in Switzerland, nobody makes genre films, because like in most European countries, most of the films are funded through the state's cultural funds. So they usually fund art house films and things like that. So it's kind of difficult to make a genre film. So we thought, yeah, if they always do the same kind of Swiss movies, then we do the same thing, but our way. And suddenly had the idea, why not mix these cliches of the perfect, peaceful Switzerland and mix it up with a dystopian future scenario and with B-movie elements. So then first there was the idea for this term, Swiss ploitation. Then we realized, okay, there's an interest from producers and from fans. So we had to come up with a story around it. And obviously Heidi, everybody knows Heidi. No matter where in the world you tell someone about the movie called Mad Heidi, they can immediately imagine something.
Yeah, we basically try to, you know, take all the famous cliches, all the stereotypes about Switzerland, not necessarily, you know, looking at it from the inside, but also from the outside, from what other countries know about Switzerland, and take all these things and turn them on their heads. And obviously, everybody knows Heidi as this jolly little mountain girl, so turning her into a fierce killing machine seemed pretty natural.
So you mean to tell me there actually isn't an underground cheese drug market? This isn't a documentary?
Not that we know of, but
yeah.
Do you guys like cheese or hate cheese?
We still like cheese, actually. Yeah. Yeah, we
can still eat it even after the
Maybe we're just ignorant or uneducated. I don't know. Maybe you know about Heidi, but like I was relatively unaware of what the Heidi films were. Like in North America, we have something, or at least in the States, we're in Canada. They had these Pollyanna movies, which I think are probably just sort
based
of like
off of.
Yeah, America's version of that. So like, what's the core Heidi story?
Well, in the original, it's about Heidi becomes an orphan, so her aunt, who is looking out for her, brings her to her grandfather, who's a farmer in the Swiss Alps.
Grumpy old man, basically.
Yeah. And first, she doesn't like it there, and then at some point, she starts kind of liking it, and then the aunt comes back and basically brings her to Frankfurt, to some rich, fancy family, and they're... they want to teach her some manners there because she's from the mountains, and she meets her friend there who's in a wheelchair, Clara, And
So
basically we switched that in our movie, that she's not in the wheelchair in the beginning. Then basically Clara goes to her, to the mountains, and in the end Clara gets healed and doesn't need the wheelchair anymore because Heidi and
the magic of the mountains.
And also Heidi has a boyfriend, Peter. I think in the American, like in the Disney version of it, he's called Peter the Goat Herd. Like the 1937 version, he's called the Goat General for whatever reason.
Goat General.
But in the Swiss version, he's called Goat Peter. So we thought this sounds pretty weird to any English-speaking person, probably. We thought, well, let's just call him exactly that.
Wow. We loved that so much. Every time it came up, everybody specifically, they had to say Goat Peter. Like, they were just Peter.
Even his father.
I'm like, dead. Yeah.
When Alice, the actress who plays Heidi, first read the script, she's English, so she doesn't know him as Goat Peter either. And at first, she wasn't sure whether she would have a sexy scene with the goat or a guy
Is the goat named Peter? Or...
Yeah. And she was like, well, fuck it. I'll do it anyway.
Wow, that's the problem with making a movie that's just breaking every rule. Like, if you don't have any understanding of the source material, you're like, it could just as easily be that she's got a goat boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Props to her for doing it anyway.
I think, probably the one that is most known to the American audience is the one from the 30s with Shirley Temple as Heidi.
Yeah.
Shit, I mean, I might actually have seen that movie. My mom loved Shirley Temple, so I had to sit through all those. Did you guys hate these movies as a kid? Like, did you, like everybody had to watch it and it was just felt like torture?
I don't think they were really part of our education in school. I mean... For sure, you watch them at some point, but it's not like every school kid in Switzerland has seen the Heidi movies. It's not like that.
There's also a famous Japanese anime that was very popular in like the German-speaking countries. I believe, actually, I watched that first as a little kid.
That's cool. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
That's awesome. We have in Canada, Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar. It's like girl with long braids. And I remember in school just hating her so much. And then we went to like the filming locations and stuff. Like, talk about Canada's exploitation.
Have you guys made anybody angry with your version of Heidi?
Yeah. I mean, of course, it pisses some people off. Even already 4 years ago when we released this first promotional or concept teaser together with our crowdfunding campaign. We only had a teaser. Nobody knew exactly what's going to be in the movie. It was just a 2-minute teaser, but it made Victorinox, the company who manufactures the Swiss Army knives, they threatened to sue us
because
Heidi was
using the Army knife as a weapon. One of our co-writers who had a job at the Zurich Police Department got fired when they figured out that in his free time he was writing on Mad Heidi.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Like
that. Wow. It is crazy too, though, because when you watch the movie, it's gorgeous. Like, you guys do a great job of making us want to go to Switzerland, even though they have a cheese dictatorship.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we thought exactly the same, you know. For the Victorinox guys, the Swiss Army knife guys, we made our own designs to be printed on those knives. And that's how they found out about us, because we ordered a bunch of and we already started the pre-sale and it sold extremely well, so we were like, you know what the hell, just you know, go with it. There's some new customers new visitors to Switzerland as well. But yeah, apparently not everybody is that liberal.
Wow. just making enemies with your cool little movie.
It's funny, we get laugh and hate from all sides. For example, a couple of days ago, we got on the front page of the biggest Swiss newspapers because some Christian parent organization complained that the movie is rated 16 in theaters and not 18. so they demanded a higher age rating. There were quotes from the head of this organization talking about how, yeah, he cannot understand how anybody would want to watch a movie like Mad Heidi. And then 2 days later, we have the media, the official media portal of the Catholic Church of Switzerland, who wrote a great review about the movie about Heidi.
I mean, talk about great free advertising.
Absolutely. Yeah, we loved it.
Yeah, you guys should just continue to mine stuff from your culture that people find.
Yeah, every teenager in Switzerland now wants to watch your movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid or a teenager and, you know, there was the parental advisory sticker on all the albums.
Like, those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Shit, I gotta have them, you know.
Exactly. So, like, you're saying that there isn't really a big genre film scene, or at least market, in Switzerland. How did you get into the sort of 70s grindhouse exploitation movies that you guys are riffing on here?
I guess the real interest in older movies, because I'm born in the mid-80s, so I'm too young for the 70s B-movies in the theaters. So I think the real interest for old movies started to me when we were already filmmakers, and when I was starting to look more into film history and everything, and so that's when I started to develop a real interest for 70s movies. But I grew up pretty much without TV and everything, so
oh wow,
probably the reason I make gory movies now, because I wasn't allowed to watch them as a kid.
Well, I watched a lot of TV as a kid. I was just in the right age to get into like things like American Ninja, you know, all the canon movies, all the Jean-Claude Van Damme stuff, Steven Seagal. And I had an older cousin as well who was watching all the Hong Kong stuff. So I got quite the education quite early on.
That's cool. Were those movies harder to find when you were younger? Like, I mean, you know, for us, they're basically made around here. So, like, getting somebody to distribute them is not that hard. But
they were in German television, basically.
Oh, okay.
German dubbed versions of them.
With the horror movies, it's kind of difficult because Germany has a pretty strict censorship, and there's a lot of horror movies that are basically illegal in Germany, and you can only get cut versions on Blu-ray or DVD. And it's ridiculous what kind of movies got censored 20 years ago. For example, Evil Dead was on the index until last year, and then last year,
wow,
after 30 years you can do a new rating, and now they rated it 16, and before it was not allowed to sell an uncut version of Evil Dead in Germany. And so because Switzerland also speaks German, we usually have the same video and Blu-ray releases that you get in Germany. So the movies that you can't get in Germany were also difficult to get in Switzerland back in the VHS days. So yeah, for some horror movies, it was difficult to find uncut versions.
Is there like a big underground market of people like trading in movies from like America?
I don't think so.
I guess
not anymore, because now you can just, you know,
internet
over the internet. But I remember I had some friends back in the days. They would have their DVDs shipped from somewhere else, just the discs. And so it wouldn't
less flag
suspicious, when it crossed the border and stuff like that.
Wow, the things you used to have to do. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Sneaking DVDs and cheese.
Jeez.
Yeah, but nowadays, of course, we can also order from Vinegar Syndrome or
yeah, of course,
whatever
yeah.
the label. And I buy a lot of stuff from Arrow Video in the UK. There's a lot of great Blu-ray labels in the UK.
Yeah, no, it's really like things have definitely changed. Like the idea that movies used to be basically illegal is just like such a foreign concept to me.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But yeah, it's cool that that you guys are riffing on it and you're bringing it to Switzerland. I think that's going to be really cool. Crowdfunding wise, like obviously that opens it up so that way you can get backers worldwide. How has the response been from the genre fans in Switzerland?
Yeah, very well. And the cool thing in Switzerland, we are not limited to the genre fans. We have a lot of people now who love the movie or are following the project for a long time who say they would usually not watch a movie like that, but because it's the first Swiss movie, they're really excited for it and they want to watch it.
That's cool.
I think the further away we get from Switzerland, the more niche is our audience. In the US, it's probably just the exploitation and trash movie fans. While in Switzerland and its neighboring country, everybody knows Mad Heidi, so we also got quite a big release now in Germany. We had over 100 cities, like 150 screens in 100 cities, which is quite good for a movie like that.
And that's amazing.
60 screens in Switzerland. Switzerland is super small. So, yeah, for example, we were now on rank 4 of the weekly box office ranking on Swiss.
No way.
Switzerland.
That's so cool.
That's amazing, guys.
The numbers are terrible at the moment. You need 4,000 people to be in the top 10, 4,000 people within a week. The Disney movie that is currently playing had only a few more visitors last week, so
that's pretty cool. And it's great too because you guys really did it independently, like you crowdfunded, and there's something really cool about that because the people going to see your movie potentially were the people that helped you make it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. We had quite a few of our investors be extras.
Oh, cool.
Heidi's dad in the opening scene, for example, who gets killed. He was an investor. And one of the perks that we did in the early days was, for all the people that really always wanted to be in a film, but their acting skills are shit. So we offered people to play corpses.
Oh, that's great. Anybody can be a corpse.
And they also sometimes helped us to find like specific props. Like we have a Discord channel, and whenever we were looking for something like Goat Peter's pimp suit, for example.
Oh yeah.
We couldn't find the right one. And we just posted it on Discord, and then we got like 5 or 6 different codes to choose from.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Crowdsourced a pimp costume.
Yeah, like not even just crowdfunded, like you're crowd developed, crowd produced, really. That's amazing. What was it like getting Casper Van Dien on the project?
Well, of course, we sent him the script and he immediately loved it. Or first his agent loved it and then Casper loved it. And of course, he worked for much less than what he would usually get paid. But yeah, he really loved the project. And We were, of course, a bit nervous because you don't know. You get somebody from Hollywood and you don't know if they are complicated or whatever. And then he arrived. And but it was immediately had a great time with him. And he brought a lot of joy to the set, constantly entertaining the entire crew. And also had a lot of inputs and ideas and was very professional. I mean, you could definitely tell that he made well over 100 movies. He was very experienced.
He's a really fun character. He's always on.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Definitely. And I think he was quite disappointed that he's only had 5 shooting days and then he would basically have to leave the party. Because everybody else stayed on for a few more weeks.
Yeah, he's a tough character to cast, I would think, because he's supposed to be evil, like we all know who he's playing on, and he has to be really, really goofy at the same time. And, obviously great choice, but like just a great character. So, I mean, the movie's loaded with them, but I think the thing that I probably respond to most is, you know, exploding heads and stuff. Talk to me about your special effects team,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's another thing. I mean, in Switzerland, we don't have a big film industry, and then second, there's not a lot of genre films that are produced. So special effects, makeup artists, they can maybe do a shot wound for a TV crime show or something like that in their normal day. Daily lives. And so everybody was really excited that they could finally work on a project where they can do a bit more. But of course, it was also challenging because everybody was making their experience and learning every day. But yeah, we tried to do as much as possible practical, but combine it with modern techniques, like, for example, the goat Peter's head. We put the actor on location, we film the scene, then we leave the camera there, take the actor out and put in a dummy head in the same position with a green screen behind it, and then we blow up the dummy head so we can composite it together. So in the end, the entire body and everything is still from the real actor, while only the part of the head that explodes is from the dummy. And I think that's the best way to combine the old traditional technique with the advantages of visual effects and make an effect that looks super real. Of course, totally over the top, but
real.
Yeah, and also just I always think even if a practical effect doesn't turn out very well, it's still 10 times cooler than a mediocre digital effect, because it's still more real. If it's a bad practical effect, feels still more real than a mediocre digital effect.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you get more leeway with a grindhouse film anyways. People just want to see gore. They don't care how on point it is, even though like you guys do some really insane stuff in it.
Yeah, that is true. And that, of course, was also a big challenge because we had a decent budget, but these effects, for a movie with that much action and effects, it wasn't really a lot of money. So, these effects always take so much time and there's a high risk of failing. Sometimes the blood is not squirting and it's flowing down, and then it takes you 30 minutes every time to reset it. And if you don't have a budget for 10 costumes, you can run into the problem that the costume is already full of blood and you still haven't shot the effect yet, and things like that make it very challenging. And of course I would love to have more gore moments in the movie.
Absolutely. But
challenging enough on this tight shooting schedule with the effects that we have.
Next time.
Yeah, we still need some room to go bigger.
Improvements. Yeah.
I was going to say, do you guys have more Swissploitation films in the canon?
We're still a little bit busy with this one.
Oh, of course.
Till the Blu-ray and the soundtrack is out and all of that. But as you might have seen in the end,
all right,
we've got plans. we've got some ideas in the backs of our heads. Like hopefully in March we can take a few days or hopefully a few weeks off to refresh our brains. And if all things go well with Mad Heidi 1, we would like to start working on the script for part 2. And apart from that, there's at least one or two ideas for something not Heidi related, but still Swissploitation. But first, obviously, we would like to continue Heidi's story for a bit.
That's awesome. And that said, everybody's going to be able to see Mad Heidi on December 8th. Where can they watch it?
They can stream it on our own website, madheidi.com. If they're in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, France, Spain, and Bolivia, there's still a chance to catch it in a cinema right now. And then sometimes next year, we'll also we'll basically give it to anyone like Google and Apple and whoever wants it.
And in Canada, we're Raven Banner is our distributor.
Oh, amazing! Oh,
that's great.
Yeah, we love Raven Banner. They're so fun.
Them too. I love Turbo Kid, of course. Who Raven Banner released VHS edition of Turbo Kid, and so I'm very happy that we ended up with Raven Banner.
That's very cool.
They have such a good like collection. You guys will fit in perfectly.
Oh yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us on the show today. We like to close out every interview by asking, like, what your dream double feature would be at the drive-in if you could play any two movies. What would you two guys play?
Well, I have to say, since we're coming from Switzerland, I've never been to a drive-in in my entire life.
You guys don't have drive-ins?
Okay. We got to get you over here sometime, man.
But it's quite rare.
There are some. Here and there, but it wasn't ever really a thing, drive-ins. But
I'm confident that you guys know drive-in movies based on the movie you made. So,
like, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah,
one of them. I'm not sure if Carpenter is too good for drive-in, but I would really love to see a creepy Carpenter movie like Halloween or The Thing or The Fog in a drive-in. Yeah.
The Fog would be really great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gone off to his DVD collection.
A movie that actually takes place in the drive-in theater, Dead End Drive-In.
Oh, yeah.
We still haven't seen this one. We got to cross it off.
Yeah, I really liked this one. At least in Europe, it's released by Arrow Video. And it's from Brian Tranchard Smith, the Australian exploitation master.
Brad.
Yeah, we're going to put that one at the top of the watch list.
It plays with the scenario of what happens if a drive-in business doesn't work anymore and the owner of a drive-in theater needs to get creative new income ideas.
I would probably choose Wild Zero, some really weird Japanese one.
Okay.
With like a bunch of rock and roll dudes and a zombie pandemic and some gender bending. So weird.
Punk rock, love it.
Yeah. that one. And then probably, you know, that's such a hard question.
I know.
So I'm going to say Santa Sangre by Khodorovsky.
That's a wild night of the drive-in. You guys, like, both of these nights sound great. Like, if they're, you know, you go to a drive-in that's got two screens, I don't know which one I'd choose. Those are great picks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you again so much for chatting with us. And thank you so much for making just a buck wild movie in a part of the world that doesn't really seem to make them. So I'm sure the genre fans like are stoked for Mad Heidi.
We hope so.
Thanks a lot.
And thank you so much for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much to co-directors Johannes and Sandro for joining us and talking about Mad Heidi. If you want to check out Mad Heidi, it is available for VOD right now as of December 8th. You just need to go to madheidi.com or just click the link in our show notes and it'll take you right there.
We'll be back again next Thursday with a regular episode of Nightmare on Film Street. We're recapping our favorite movies of 2022. I'm sure you've read 100 lists already. But,
and here comes ours.
And here comes another one. Yeah, if you're curious what we really responded to this year, and if you're looking for some movies to watch over the holiday break, we have got a great lineup ready for you. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy. What if I started doing the Stay Creepy in the Grindhouse voice? What if I did that?
Well, I can't compete with it.
No, let's just try it. Let's go. Let's give it a fair shake. This is the one time to do it. All right, okay. 1, 2, 3.
Stay creepy.
I almost said Mad Heidi. Like I almost just said Mad Heidi again.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.